Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms.
This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon titled, Bless Christmas.
Hey, we're on the fourth Sunday of Advent. We're almost at Christmas. And for all the preparations that are being made or not made, what goes in your mind when I say, what is a blessed Christmas? What are the kinds of things that show up in you that constitute a blessed Christmas this year? You might just even close your eyes, and what everybody has a different, but they often have something to do with that we are with family and friends, and everybody is healthy, and they're happy, and there's a sense of joy. There's a sense of calm in the midst of the storms around, and there's this pocket where everything is good and it is right. The food, it is rich. The conversation, it is deep. The pace, it is slow. It is a time to savor. In other words, nothing like this year, right? So when we're talking about a blessed Christmas, we have a couple options. We can either just punt and say, well, that's canceled for this year. Let's just look ahead to next year. Or we can take one more look and see if there isn't something that we can learn that helps get us into what a blessed Christmas is about. And I think our passage that is in front of us has some clues. It is this famous passage of the angel Gabriel coming to visit Mary and to announce to her this good news of a son that is going to be born to her. It starts off with, listen, you are the favored one. Rejoice. God is with you. If there is the essence of what it means to be blessed, it is in your soul to know that, and you get to rejoice because you know that God is with you. And amazing things are going to happen. They are going to be incredible things. And sometimes we think that what gets in the way of this passage, or that the most remarkable thing about this passage, are some of the most impossible things, that angels come and visit, and there is a birth that comes in a very strange way with divine intervention that comes in, and there's portents and signs in the sky, and just all these things that just seem so impossible. Can I suggest that that's not the most amazing part of this passage? Can I suggest that if we were living in the first century and we were reading this, we would nod our heads, and what most surprising would not be those details, because that's what God kind of does. God does those kind of impossible, weird kinds of things. In fact, in the first century, people were very familiar with the birth announcement of someone else. It was Caesar Augustus, who was to be born as the Savior of the world, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God. He was to come, and his birth was announced in the heavens. There was divine intervention in his birth itself, and this was the one to bring in a new era. If we knew that, we might scratch our heads and we might think, well, then the writers of the New Testament just suffered from a lack of imagination. This just feels like plagiarism. Or that it was very intentional, using exactly the same words and the same phrases so that they could emphasize something that was very different. Because in those days, it was not unlikely that God would come and do these things. This is what God does. What's amazing about this is where God did it. God is the one who does impossible stuff. That's what God does. But the unthinkable is that it would do this, all this would happen in some backwater corner of the world to a peasant girl of no standing, that no one knew of, who wasn't worthy of anything in that world. That's just not what God does. And that would have gotten people's attention. That would have snapped some heads around and going, whoa, what is that? That the biggest obstacle of Christmas is not that God has to do impossible things. That's kind of God's job description. And God had done things like this in those days. But where God would do it, it's not the how, or the what that God would do. It's where it was done, to who, and oh my goodness, why? Why would God do that? That's not where God would be. But what this passage is doing is showing us that God shows up and we miss it because we're looking in the wrong places, and it's not a matter of a failure of faith as much as a failure of imagination. We can't imagine that God would do that there, in that time, in that place, with that person. How would that happen? This passage, by using the same words and the same phrases and setting everything up, is setting up that there are, in fact, two different realities of what God is doing. And if you want to know what the blessings of God look like, there is the one version that says, in Caesar's world, that the blessings of God are known because of power and of wealth and of status and of success. It has to do with fame. It has to do with all the things that you are gathering. Or it has to do with the blessings of God showing up where there is weakness, where there is poverty, where there is compassion, where there's humility, that rather than getting, it is a matter of giving. That these two worlds are being presented to the reader in the first century, I contend they're being presented to us in the 21st as well. It is saying, where do you find the good news? Where are you looking for the blessedness of God? Because if you miss that, you might miss it when that child that's being born to Mary grows up and says crazy things like, blessed are the poor, or the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are those of you who mourn and suffer. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Might miss it and not quite understand why this person is saying the first will be last and the last will be first, and if you want to be great, you become the least. And if you want to do something amazing, then make sure that you are serving. One of the great truths of Christmas is you can't stop Christmas, but you can miss it. And you can miss it just like people did in the first century, because they were looking in the wrong place, in the unthinkable places of where God might show up and do what God does. Happy are you, and happy is the one, Elizabeth says, who actually believes that God can use you, that you believe the promises God made to you. Mary in those days was written off by the world. She was of no particular value, of no particular worth. She wasn't known. She was lowest of the low in that world. Why on earth would God show up there? The world had already written off Mary. And so anything that Mary was involved with couldn't possibly be good or noteworthy. Today we do the same though, don't we? Don't we foreclose on people? They're of the wrong gender, the wrong status, the wrong wealth, the wrong school, the wrong education. They don't have the right demographic. They don't have the right family. They come from unlikely circumstances. That we just don't count them as being all that valuable, and we write them off. And when we do, we run the risk of missing Christmas. Let me put another point on this. We run the risk of missing Christmas when we write ourselves off, too. When we think, my life is too disorganized, or I'm too much of a failure, or I can't do this, or there's just something in me that, and we begin to write ourselves off as being the unlikely recipients and the unlikely places to hear, you are the favored one. You, friend, are blessed. God is with you. When we think we can't do that, then we run the real risk of missing Christmas. Not because it's not possible, but because we have made it and ourselves unthinkable. So the first task of a Christmas in this time and place that is blessed is to do some reframing. It is to rethink and reimagine what God might be trying to do in our midst. And that's why I like this abiding prayer that we're about to see. Listen to these words look at these pictures and begin to imagine what would it look like to believe those great words that God is with you and you are a favored one. When those things begin to sink in, then wherever you are, in whatever condition, becomes the thin places. It becomes the place of blessing.
At one time, God was perceived as imperial power on high. Then, infinite, inescapable, and boundless love freely chose to enter human fragility. The ultimate thin place of thin places. Imperial power was exchanged for intimate presence. Our subject to object relationship with God was transformed into oneness with intimate presence, where there is no separation, and joy becomes our dwelling place. Thin places come in many ways. They lift a veil and offer a glimpse of intimate presence in moments of vulnerability. Abiding in the intimate presence of God, we are liberated inside out from prisons of all kinds that bind us. When we are estranged from God and long to return, we are drawn back into God, our home, so intimate that we live and move and have our being there. Thin places, where there is no separation, and joy becomes our dwelling. If we do not love what God loves, these are all just words. And Christmas is just another day in winter. When we are passionate about what God is passionate, we create thin places. When we put love in action by serving, or having courage to challenge injustice and its causes when we see them, God enters human fragility over and over again. Not as imperial power, but as intimate presence, making Christmas not just another day in winter, but the ultimate thin place of thin places for all the world.
God is at work, and the work of God can't be stopped. Christmas can't be stopped, but it can be missed. It can be missed when we don't recognize what God is trying to do, when we begin to think that where God is, it's unthinkable, we just can't imagine. Then we miss it. We miss what's right in front of us. But there's another aspect. Even when we begin to understand that God might be at work right here, the second part has to do with how do we respond? And for that, Mary points the way. Mary, the blessed one, is the one who, in getting this news, troubling as it is, when she says, "I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said." What she does is she takes and flips everything around. When we think about blessing, when I think about blessing, I've got some ideas about what that looks like this year or in my life. I've got what I need or what I don't need, what I want God to change or to fix. It is always this, the most common, most popular prayer in one form or another is, "God, your will needs to change so that I can be blessed." Mary turns the whole thing on her head. And she gives what is, in some ways, the perfect and simplest statement of faith. And she combines it with the most powerful prayer. Let it be to me. I trust you, God. Let it be to me as you've said. Amen. As she does that, what she does is she takes and recognizes that the blessing of God is already here, that Christ is already here. And when we have that confidence, when we can begin to believe that you are the favored one and God is with you, then we get to reorganize our life. Then we don't have to try to control everything. Then we just have to somehow try to figure out how do we get into the flow and align our life with what God is already trying to do in our midst, that we indeed are already in the blessing of God. It will help if we understand that that blessing may not look like we think it will. It certainly didn't for Mary. Mary is the one who is blessed, but then she is also the one who is broken. And it's for the same reason, that her soul exults and her heart is pierced for the same reason, that the great joy that she has been given is tied to a great task, because that's what God is doing. And it is anything but comfortable, anything but peaceful, anything but calm. And it recognizes that Jesus didn't come to make us comfortable. Jesus came to make people great. Jesus didn't come, and Christmas isn't here, so that we could be peaceful and calm, but so that we could be a part of something much larger than ourselves and something way beyond what we thought we could do and are capable of. And often that means that we will be uncomfortable if we are going to be in the flow of God. And just as it is a great obstacle to Christmas that somehow we can't imagine where God would be at work, it is also a great obstacle when we have an idea of what it has to look like and feel like. And so we don't respond. Is this a blessed Christmas? It depends. I will say this. I think it has all the hallmarks of one. I think it has the fingerprints of a blessed Christmas all over it, in this, that it is already a Christmas where people have written it off. You may have written yourself off. You may have written off what God can do in you in this time. It is already, we are living in a time where it just feels unthinkable that this could be a blessed Christmas. That alone tells us that the conditions are ripe for something amazing that God is about to do. It begins when we can imagine that God is saying, listen, you are blessed. You are favored. God is with you. If you can believe that, Elizabeth says, then you are blessed. If you can believe that the promises of God are for you. But what it is waiting for, this yes of God, this yes that no matter how unthinkable is here in front of us, it is waiting for us to give our yes, no matter how uncomfortable. Because when the grace of God, no matter how unthinkable, meets the yes of our own soul, regardless of how uncomfortable, Christ is there. Christmas can be there. This Christmas, may it be a blessed one. And as you go through this time, may you put yourself into the flow of what God is already trying to do, the great yes of God in your life. This Christmas, as we get ready, may we be able to become not only recipients and recognize the blessedness of God in us, but as we do that, may we also become the source of blessing for all those around us. When we do that, then we are ready for a blessed Christmas. Amen. As we come to the end of the worship service, it is always good to ask, so what's next? What are the next steps? Worship is never meant to be passive. It is always meant to be an active response to what God is already doing in our midst. So what are the next steps for you? Perhaps it is a way of sharpening and attuning your senses to where the blessing of God already is. Maybe there is a word that came to you today in a piece of music or a prayer that moved you or a piece of scripture. Maybe there's a nudging in your soul that's saying, open your eyes so that you can see what God is yet to do. Or maybe there's a tug of your heart that says, you need to entrust yourself to God, maybe for the first time, or maybe for the first time in a long time. You need to be able to open yourself up. And where in your life this week do you need to be able to say, let it be to me as you have said, I'm in. Maybe it is calling out the unthinkable places in other people and helping them to see where it is that God might be at work and how no matter what has happened to them, they have not been written off and that they do matter and that they do count and that they may also be the places where God is at work. And maybe it is you who is the one to bring it. Whether in word or in deed this week, as you go out, go love God with everything you've got, and then go out and love your neighbor as yourself. And as you go, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. In believing, may you abound with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. As you go out, may the peace of Christ be with you. May it follow you. May it be more than a word. May that peace settle in you in such a way that you know in the marrow of your soul, you are the favored one of God, and that God is with you. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace.